Okay, so welcome everyone. As you can tell, I'm in someplace other than home. I'm in Montana, the mountains behind me. They are majestically awesome, something that I can share with Stuart today because he's majestically awesome as well. But I just want to say welcome to all of you. It's a great day. It's the last Sunday in September. So I just know that I know that I know that we're going to have a great week. But in the meantime, we got to talk today about grace. Can you all hear me okay? Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me okay. Awesome. Good. You are all on mute. So when you want to share something, you will have to unmute. I put you all on mute because at times we get feedback during the worship set from your microphones. So that's why you're all on mute. So today, this is week six of our journey into wholeness through holistic grace. And today we're actually going to start talking about grace. We've talked about Papa's love for us, Papa's entire character coming out of love, his nature being love. We've talked about how loved we are by him. And we've talked about just all the aspects of how that love flows. And that love is actually manifested in our lives through grace. So I have a question for all of you. It's not rhetorical. You do get to participate today. My question, first of all, is what's your understanding of grace?
Freedom.
Freedom. That's a good one. I like that, Daryl. Freedom. I'm going to write that one down. Somebody else.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional love. Thank you, Stuart. That's a good one. See, I don't have a whiteboard today, so I have to write it on a piece of paper. How archaic is that, right? Anybody else? No? Well, let me put the question this way. Could it be that grace is much bigger, larger, or better than your current understanding? Yeah?
I said joy.
Joy. Ah, joy. Okay. Anybody else? Can grace be bigger than, better than, larger than your current understanding? Y'all can unmute if you need to. It's okay. Well, I think go ahead.
I was going to say, I hope it is bigger and greater than my understanding because, yeah, my understanding is limited at this point.
I think it is bigger. I think it is better because we're going to find out there's a couple of scriptures that talk about growing in grace and understanding of grace. So I don't think we've reached the fullness of the potential of grace in our lives yet. And so it's important periodically to come back and revisit and take stock of where we're at on the subject. So let's take a look at some scriptures a minute. And again, I didn't have a printer, so I have to do this all from electronic devices. But I want to start with Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Out of the Passion Translation. And it reads like this. But whether I live or die is not important, for I do not esteem my life as indispensable. It's more important for me to fulfill my destiny and to finish the ministry my Lord Jesus has assigned to me, which is to faithfully preach the wonderful news of grace. Paul perceived his assignment as to preach the news of grace. And Paul, having written the majority of the New Testament, and Paul having gone from the utmost legalist to the utmost grace person in that transition, we see part of the scriptures is him walking out that transition. But he was so adamant that grace is the foundation of everything. And so he taught grace, and he taught it right up to the day he died. You can find grace in every book that Paul had contributed to in his writings. And it's there. But in the past, it's been, in a sense, hidden from us because we didn't understand much about it. I wasn't taught much about grace coming through the church, but what I was taught did prepare me to have a greater understanding of grace. So let's go to Galatians chapter 2. I hope you got your Bibles. It's going to take me a minute to transition, but I'm going to read from the Passion Translation until later on. Then I flip to the New Living Translation. But if we go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, It says, my old identity has been crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one, capital letters, lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into mine. So that is why I don't view God's grace as something peripheral. For if keeping the law could release God's righteousness to us, then Christ would have died for nothing. So Paul is writing here to the Galatians saying, grace is something, and it's something powerful. It's something that overrides so much, and it has a relationship to our identity, and it also has a relationship to the manifestation of the faith of the Son of God in our lives. So we start right out with grace is important. Paul says that's my primary. I mean, that whole concept of grace, first of all, it removes our old perception of our identity. You know, we were taught that we had a fallen nature, but we don't. We never have. But we did have a perception of our identity that didn't match what God's perception of our identity is, or God's declaration of it. And so Jesus, part of his death, burial, resurrection was to unleash the light into the darkness to give us that foundation from which we can see more clearly who we truly are and change our perception and our perspective. And so that's what these two verses is talking about. You know, and it's not something that we do. It says, my new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me. So grace is that vehicle where the love that Christ has for us is imparted in a greater measure and a greater awareness. And if we just did nothing else but meditate on God's grace and God's love, it'd be a really good day. It'd be a really good day. So I want to, so in that regard, I think it's important to just remember grace is not peripheral. It's essential. And verse 21 says it's grace isn't something peripheral, which means it's essential. So the more understanding and growth we have in grace, the more we'll understand who we are. The more we understand who we are, the more we understand our union and oneness. And then as I'm going to teach in a little bit longer or a little bit later today in another church, it's the promises of God that are released through our understanding of grace and our understanding of how loved we are. The old perception of ourselves used to block, in my mind, a lot of the blessings, the yes and amens of the promises, because I couldn't see myself worthy of receiving them. But grace tells me otherwise. And so I think that's important. It's for us to remember. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 11. Verse 6, and I'm using my iPad, that's why you see me moving around here. Romans 11, 6. It says, and since it is by God's grace, it can't be a matter of their good works. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift of grace, but earned by human effort. So grace empowers us. If you actually back up to verse 5, it says, and this is but one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. For God's grace empowers his chosen remnant. Newsflash, you're part of the chosen. So his grace empowers you. And as his grace empowers you, what kind of things happen in your life? Talk to me.
You know, the biggest thing for me is freedom from guilt. I don't have to sit there and repent because I sinned today. So I don't have to spend time, not that I did, but don't have to sit down at the end of the evening and repent of my sins of omission and commission. I'm just accept that I'm accepted as I am. And because of that, now I'm free to live.
Good. Good. Anyone else?
I would expound on that thought to say, like, freedom from the fear that brings with it.
Yeah. Good. Freedom from the fear, even freedom from shame. To be released from shame. Linda, it looks like you're unmuted. You got something you want to add?
I don't have to condemn myself for all the things that I thought I was doing wrong. Because I don't have to condemn myself, I can be freer to express joy. And in expressing that joy, somehow God's glory gets shown to other people.
Yeah, good, good. Anyone else? I got to tell you, this feels a little unusual to me since I can't move around and I can't turn to the whiteboard. So take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 a minute.
Well, before you go there.
Sure.
I guess I'll just pipe in. Grace, I mean, it's just hard to put it all in words. What grace has done is allowed, I think it's allowed me to accept myself as I am. It's allowed me to learn to love myself. And then I can love my neighbor. And I think grace has just taken a lot of the burden, the heaviness, the you got to do to be. It's just lightened the load, and then some.
Good.
Just a few things. I mean, it sat for a while and listed out everything that grace has done. It would be a rather long list, and I think sometimes we just don't realize all that grace is doing, all that grace has allowed us to do and learn and be and experience.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very empowering to be who we really are.
That's good. That's very good. And that leads to the next verse, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But God's amazing grace has made me who I am. That's what Carol's just talking about. And his grace to me was not fruitless. Grace is never fruitless. It will eventually, I don't want to say it, permeate the darkness that was our false perception or perspectives. It says, in fact, I worked harder than all the rest, yet not in my own strength, but God's. For his empowering grace is poured out upon me. Paul believed that he taught that God's grace was poured out upon everybody. And some people have different levels of awareness of it, but that's the beauty, because we're going to see in a few minutes, Peter talked about we grow in grace. We grow in our knowledge and wisdom and understanding of grace. And so, if you get to the point, or anyone gets to the point, oh, yep, I know grace. Yep, I got it down. Don't need to study it anymore. That's a wrong perspective, because it's constantly renewing. It's constantly enlightening. It's constantly changing who we are. And in Paul, I mean, even when he's writing to the Corinthians, it's made me who I am. And that's all because he had this revelation and awareness. It changed him. Paul is one of the greatest examples of radical shift of perspective and understanding through grace. I mean, he was the lawgiver of lawgiver, the enforcer of the law, and he went from one who wanted to kill everybody who knew or was talking about grace all the way to he became the champion of grace. That's a radical shift. And I just think that radical shift is something that we should expect in our own lives, because it does. And in my own life, it has produced a shift. Has it been as dramatic as Paul's? I don't know. I mean, I wasn't out killing people with swords, but I don't think I was the kindest person. And so I do think, as I've learned to relax in who I am because of grace, because of the love of God that comes into my life through grace, I've changed. And I know a lot of you as well have changed, and we're all in the process of continuing to change. And to me, that's just really, really something that we have to remind ourselves is we are on this journey. That's why I picked our journey into wholeness. We're moving in a journey towards the greater manifestation of love and grace in our life that can't help but change us, and change us in ways that some of us have longed for years. and changes in ways that some of us never even dreamed possible. And yet here it is. And so I want to encourage you, this journey is powerful. This journey is revelatory. This journey is life-giving and life-changing. And so whatever goes on in the natural, don't give up on the journey, because the journey does lead to greater revelation and fruit in our lives. And even out here ministering in Montana, I see some people who just don't have any hope. And so when we minister to them, we're ministering a dose of grace to them prophetically, and watch them change in a moment where they're now, their eyes are now opened to the potentiality. And I just think that's pretty awesome. So I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, Paul wrote this one as well. It's from Paul, an apostle in Christ Jesus, for it was Jesus himself, our living hope, who sent me as his servant by the command of God, our life giver. If you jump down to verse 11, it says, I have been commissioned to preach the wonderful news of the glory of the exalted God. Anybody want to guess what that wonderful news is? Can you say grace?
Grace.
Yeah. My heart spills over with thanks to God for the way he continuously empowers me. And to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, who found me trustworthy and who authorized me to be his partner in ministry. Well, grace is what he's talking about. Grace continuously empowers us. Grace is the person of Jesus Christ expressing his love towards us, the love of the Trinity towards us, in us, through us, transforming us. So this grace changes and empowers us. You can keep your head up all day long and walk no matter what the circumstances, because grace empowers you. And if you realize that grace empowers you, then really nothing can destroy that in your life. Embracing the fact grace empowers me. Even Paul, when he was having some really hard times, and he went to God and says, you got to take this away from me, whatever that was. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And that wasn't a condescending comment. It was a reminder to Paul that my grace is all empowering. It's all loving. It's all fulfilling in your life. Focus there, not on what seems to be the negative, not on what seems to be going wrong. Focus on the grace, and the rest takes care of itself. And it says in verse 14, I was flooded with such incredible grace, like a river overflowing its banks, until I was full of faith and love for Jesus, the Anointed One. And I can testify in verse 15, I can testify that the word is true and deserves to be received by all. For Jesus Christ came into the world to bring sinners back to life, even me, the worst of all. Yet I was captured by grace so that Jesus Christ could display through me the outpouring of his Spirit as a pattern to be seen for all those who would believe in him for eternal life. So not only does Paul say God captured me by grace, but he said he's transformed me through that grace to be a pattern for all of those who believe. So Paul says, you want to see what grace looks like? Look at my life. Look at my teachings. He's consistently a teacher of grace. He's consistently a teacher of love. He's consistently a teacher of universal hope. And that all came about, as he said, because he was captured by grace. Who did the capturing?
Father.
Father. When was Paul captured by grace?
When he was exposed to God's glory.
Yeah. When he got knocked off his horse, literally knocked off the high horse, and encountered Jesus, and then went away with the Holy Spirit for a season and was transformed as he began to understand grace. And if you actually put Paul's writings in chronological sequence, you will see the transition of the greater level of depth of revelation of grace throughout his life as he transforms before our eyes. So he says, as the pattern to be seen by all. So we should be encouraged that we don't have to have it all down today. I don't have to fully know everything about grace today. But what I do know is it's constantly at work in my life, whether I'm even consciously aware of it or not. It's working beneath the surface. It's working in above the surface. So it's just there, and it's just so enriching and so empowering. Let's take a look at Acts 15 a minute. I'm so used to more feedback, but this format just doesn't lend a lot to that. All right, Acts 15, 11. Do you believe that we are introduced to eternal life through the grace of our Lord Jesus, the same grace that has brought these people new life? What is eternal life? What does John say eternal life is?
Life everlasting.
Okay. What else? What does John say about knowing God? Well, I'll just tell you. Eternal life is knowing God and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ. That's a now experience that does lead to what Paul says is life everlasting. But it's a now moment. It's a now experience. We have it now, and it's, you know, and the awareness of it comes by grace. It becomes by the manifestation of love through that pipeline of grace. It's amazing how that works. But if we fight it, what happens if we fight the inclinations that God puts in our heart towards grace? Can you say religion? Because as you start to fight the inclinations, you sort of box yourself in to a theological mindset that's in opposition to truth. And that just drains our energy. Do you know how much energy it takes to fight truth? Where's my quantum people? Stuart, how much energy does it take to fight truth?
It takes quite a bit of energy to fight truth, because you've got to push something that's solid. Mm-hmm. You have to try to push something. Truth stands by itself. So it takes an incredible amount of energy to live a lie or push that forward.
Yeah, it's like pushing a rock up a hill, not just a rock, a boulder up a hill.
Yeah, because the truth is stationary. It always has been and always will be. So really, it's not movable.
And so it's like pushing against a wall and expecting it to move.
Yeah.
If you don't really believe it that it can move, it'll never move. So, yeah. You know, it takes a tremendous amount of energy to oppose truth. And I don't know about you. Some of you are younger than I am, but the older I get, the more I want to direct my energies towards things that are peaceful and joyful, which is part of the kingdom, to things that are empowering, to things that I know I can see manifest because of the love and grace of God. So if we fight the revelation of truth, we only do ourselves harm, because we're directing energy away from the fullness of life. And eventually that catches up to us. And when I was steeped in religion, it caught up to me physically. It caught up to me emotionally. It caught up to me in relationships. And I'm hoping now, the more I understand grace and the fact that I've really been dwelling for a few days on the fact that it's an ever-increasing revelation of grace. It's an ever-increasing revelation of love. And grace, we need to be very specific. Grace is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the point of that out is his act of as a verbal act towards us, not verbal in a sense of speaking, but it's a verb. It's that love in action coming through him in the form of what we call grace. And it's so much more than what we were taught, you know, before we began to understand it is him and it's his power that works through us. Go to Titus chapter 2 a minute. And this is out of the Passion Translation, verses 11 and 12. God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. The same grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles, and equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives godly lives in this present age. Don Keithley talks about grace changes us from the inside out. It's not behavior modification, but it is life-changing attitudes and perspectives that lead us to make different choices. It's extremely, extremely powerful because it manifests in us and it changes our awareness and it changes our focus and it changes things to the fact that I don't have to make it happen. You can't make grace happen. Grace just happens. And it happens in us and to us and through us and around us because that's what Christ is. He's in us. He's working around us. He's working in us. He's working through us. That's just Jesus. And we just stop fighting that. If we stop fighting those kinds of things and sit back and enjoy the ride, it's great. You know, tell people about grace and sometimes they look at you really funny, but hey, it's a great ride. I'm enjoying it. I'll only read one more verse and then I'm going to let you guys have a chance to talk. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Lord, the Anointed One. So that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings great pleasure. That's what I was just talking about. What's cascading over us suggest to you? This tremendous love that cascades over us.
A waterfall.
Yeah. Yeah. A waterfall.
Yeah, I had the same thought. It's a waterfall. Excuse me, that's continuously flowing. There's no end to it.
All right, let me say this. When I was in my younger days, I lived in Jackson, Michigan. And Jackson has this place called the Cascade Falls. And the Cascade Falls are just these gentle waterfalls. They're not violent. They're just constant and gentle and beautiful to watch and beautiful to just take in. They're in their own way, they're breathtaking. And this particular place, they even amplified them with different color lighting underneath certain falls. So you get this huge effect aesthetically. And that's kind of what I'm thinking here. I don't think it's the waterfall that's so violent that it disrupts. It's not Niagara Falls. You can't really enjoy Niagara Falls on the bottom when it's coming over the top of you. But a gentle cascading fall, you can just take in and it soaks in. It embraces you. It empowers you. And I think that's kind of what Paul is talking here, this gentle cascading effect of just... Otherwise, you get overwhelmed and then you're going to shut down or run from it. So, all right. So far, what are you guys hearing?
Well, just to build on the waterfall thing, that was what came to my mind. And it's that, you know, you have a waterfall and it's never ending, constantly mm-hmm. refreshing. But what's really interesting when we talked about Niagara Falls, one day it stopped. There was an ice jam and it stopped and all the residents in the area were just panic stricken because they thought the world was coming to an end. Now you think about that, that's an interesting allegory because if that waterfall of grace ever stopped, it really would be like the world came to an end. And the thing that I'm getting at is how much we don't think about it, but we continually count on grace to be in our lives, to keep us refreshed, to keep us really pure, you know, and this is one of those things. God grace covers everything. So if we would do something that we would call sin, it's always washed away. We're always forgiven. I don't even like to use that word, but always cleansed. And that's the important thing, is that we're always cleansed. So if you do something that's wrong, we don't have to go into despair. We have to walk in His grace. Does that make sense?
It does. Another way of saying it, it's a continuous refreshment or refreshing. I think I like the way you put it. And when you add continuous refreshing with that, it's a very powerful statement.
I like that, Stuart, but I also like the way my thought was, when you're under the gentle cascading waterfall as compared to being under Niagara Falls and being crushed, God gives us the amount that we need, whether it's gentle or whether it's more. Or I'm sure it would, if anybody can take the crushing blow out there, they would be something else. But I like that analogy. I think that speaks well in my heart. I like that.
Good.
I just have to throw this in. You know, grace is where man meets God. Niagara is where Canada meets America.
Good.
So that's spoken because we're both Americans and Canadians here today. So I like that. Anyone else? I really want to make sure we understand, if nothing else today, you know, that we talked for 4.5-5 weeks on the immense love of God, the unconditional love of God, which is love in action, the agape love in action. It's that energy of the kingdom bringing life and bringing wholeness and bringing restoration of mindsets and identity. All of that is constantly flowing through Jesus Christ, who is the conduit of grace in our lives. And so we can't escape it. We, you know, where do you go to escape God's love? If you can't escape the love, Paul says nothing can separate us from the love of God, which also means nothing can separate us from the grace of God, because the grace is the manifesting agent, vessel, however you want to say it, of the energy of love, the power of love. And so realizing his grace is full of acceptance, not rejection. His grace is full of affirmation, not putting us down or tearing us apart from an identity perspective. His grace is just so full of positivity. You know, what was the group that used to go around, that positive talk and the power of embracing talk? I can't even remember now. But grace empowers us more than any man-made concept or project or anything, like even a 12-step program. Grace is more empowering than a 12-step program, because grace sets us totally free, as Daryl said earlier, where, you know, the programs of man often have a remnant of the law that if you break the program concepts, then you're doomed and are destined to fall back into old patterns. Grace doesn't do that. Grace says there are no old patterns to fall back into. That's what the entire book of Hebrews is about. The author, some say Paul, some say we don't know, wrote to the Hebrews saying, you can't go back to the old sacrificial system because it doesn't work. And all it did was crush your spirit, crush your whole relationship with God. And it's only the love and the grace of Jesus Christ that now brings us to life. And so that's just something we have to remember. And the book of Hebrews is often misunderstood because people don't realize it was written to the Jews, not to us. But it was a reminder that in the law was just nothing but trouble, nothing but difficulty, nothing but heaviness. And so grace is the reminder that, yay, it's all good. Sun's coming up behind me. I don't know if you can tell it, but it just got a little brighter in the room. So let's talk about, what about Peter and John? What they have to say? Because they too are part of this. And I just read you one verse. Yeah, you are not forgotten. Oh no, I haven't read it. This is 1 Peter 1:2. Or he's writing to a group of believers who've been scattered, quote, like seed into the nations living as refugees, unquote. And they're all around the Roman Empire. And he says, you are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ, who have been gloriously sprinkled with his blood. May God's delightful grace and peace cascade over you many times over. I guess I did read that. But his grace, his peace, even those scattered away from their foundations, those you might say today who have left institutionalized church and are out there searching for some kind of peace of mind, he's saying, hey, grace. His grace has been given to you. You're okay. It's all right. And in 2 Peter 3, now Peter puts a little bit different spin on it because he's trying to minister more to the Jews. But in 2 Peter 3:17-18, and I would encourage you all to read these verses. I will put them in the outline that I'll start distributing after I get back from vacation. It says, as for you, divinely loved ones. Ooh, does that mean you guys? Are you divinely loved ones?
Yes.
All those that say they're divinely loved ones, raise your hand. Yeah, you're divinely loved ones. And since you are forewarned of these things, be careful that you are not led astray by the error of the lawless and lose your firm grip on the truth. But continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord Jesus Christ. May he receive all the glory both now and until the day eternity begins. Oh, wait a minute. Grace and intimacy increases in our lives. What do you think about that? And then I'll come back to you, Muriel. Do you see yourself growing and increasing in grace and intimacy? Can you see that? Do you expect that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that river of water that's constantly moving. What happens when a body of water no longer flows?
It becomes stagnant and I don't know what the word is, but it's become stagnant and putrid.
Yeah. Greatest example is the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
Or it dries up. Yeah.
Or dries up. Muriel, you had your hand up.
Yeah, you said to put up our hands if we were divinely whatever you asked.
I wasn't thinking about the electronic hand, but thank you for that. When we set our hearts to receiving everything God has for us, and all we're doing is we're saying, God, I want it all. And you know, it's not selfish to ask for all he asked for us. God, I want it all. I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in intimacy. Whose job is it to make it happen?
His.
Yes. Yes. I'm not going to give you 10 steps to the ecstatic intimacy with the Lord. I'm not going to give you 10 steps to manifesting grace. Because yeah, every one of us is different. And it's not on us to do it. So he does it in us, through us, the way he created us and where we're at right now in our journey. And I just think that's just so freeing for me, is I don't have to make it happen. But I do have one responsibility in a sense, and that's to keep my heart open to it. And if I'm having some traumatic events or something staggering that makes me want to shut down, than to hopefully be open to someone coming and say, let's open our heart back up. Because there's still the answer to even the traumas of our life, the healing of the traumas of our life is knowing that we're growing in intimacy and we're growing in grace. And somewhere in there, those two things will manifest healing physically, emotionally, and we rejoice that that day is coming. We're grateful in advance. You know, I just was reading a Steve McVeigh post on Facebook this morning. The grace walk is rife with gratefulness, no matter what. And so as we're grateful, we even can see a greater revelation in grace and intimacy. And I think that's what grace does. That's what it's done for me, is it's opened the door to intimacy with God beyond what I ever expected, because it shifted me off performance-based, waiting for the axe to fall, to just being in the now with what he's doing. Let's look at John a minute. John was a grace guy too. You go to John chapter 1, verse 16. John says, as he's giving the discourse on who Jesus is, but I'm actually starting in 13. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. So is grace and truth within you? Is grace and intimacy within you?
Yeah.
Is love in you? Yeah. The Spirit comes to unveil greater measures of all of that truth. And he won't speak on his own, but only what he hears from the Father. And he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. And that's kind of what Greg and Gary and Ed and myself are doing right now here in Montana, is we're prophetically releasing the greater revelation to come for people of grace and love. And then verse 14, he says, he will glorify me on the earth, for he will receive from me what is mine and reveal it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me. That's why I say that the divine encourager will receive what is mine and reveal it to you. And then in verse 16, soon you won't see me any longer, but then after a little while, you will see me in a new way. And that new way is grace. That new way is grace. And you know what? That's John 16. How about that? You guys got a rabbit trail. I want a John 1:16. So the rabbit trail is it's all there. It's all powerful. Here's verse 16 out of John chapter 1. And from the overflow of his fullness, we receive grace heaped upon grace. Oh, grace shower or grace mud bath, if you prefer. Grace heaped upon grace. Moses gave us the law, but Jesus, the anointed one, he unveils truth wrapped in tender mercy. No one ever before gazed upon the full splendor of God except his uniquely beloved Son, who is cherished by the Father. Well, if no one else until now, till the time of Jesus, had gazed upon the splendor of God, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So that means what? In relationship to gazing upon the full splendor. Is that available to you?
Yes.
How do you do that?
By his love.
By his love?
By his love.
Yeah. Anybody ever just close their eyes and imagine Jesus and imagine the Father? See yourself crawling up on the Father's lap? See yourself with the arms of Jesus wrapped around you. See yourself with this heart so full of love. It's one of the ways we do that. We just close our eyes, and the imagination that God gave us helps put a picture to it. Most of the time, we talk out of pictures anyway. We see something, and then we describe it. So if you closed your eyes right now, and just imagine sitting on Papa's lap. You can see it. You can feel it. It's tangible in your imagination, which becomes something that you feel at times in your body. And we're invited to do that because grace has opened the pathway for that. Now, going back to John chapter 1, verse 3. And through his creative inspiration, this living expression, this Jesus Christ made all things, for nothing has existence apart from him. Your existence, your experience in grace is all made possible by him. And you can sit back and relax and develop the language of emotion and feeling that goes with it, again, by meditating, by imagining, exercising that. Part of the way you grow in grace is to meditate. Take 10 deep breaths. We've done that before. We do that from time to time. You take 10 deep breaths, and it changes the frequency of where you're at in that moment to give you a better, I don't want to say channel for lack of better word, but a better opening to experience what God is saying, to hear it, to feel it. We do that periodically throughout the day, and we sharpen our hearing. We pause and we take a look in our imagination. When you read a scripture that speaks to you and you just imagine putting yourself in the midst of that, you're actually creating an environment where love and grace can expand in your life. And then sometimes it's like I came out here and the first 2 days were cloudy and rainy, but it was still so massively impressive that I stood in awe and wonder, looking at the mountains, looking at the wildlife, listening to this stream. There's a stream right outside the house with running water that's fast enough that you can hear it gurgling and bubbling. And I just sat there and I went, wow. And I closed my eyes and I just let that presence of creation still my heart, calm my heart, which is a way then also of increasing the opportunity for grace and love to become more real and to expand in our lives, to grow in our lives. And all of you have ways and things that you do that help that. Used to be in the charismatic days, the only way you could make that happen was speak in tongues. But we're not in the charismatic days anymore. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not saying speaking in tongues is not something that helps, but you know, in certain segments of the Pentecostal charismatic movement, if it didn't come out of tongues, then it probably wasn't God. And so there was that them and us kind of thing that got set up. But God talks to each of you individually. And so that one of the things in this season of our journey is, how does God talk to me? Where am I postured or positioned in time where he talks to me that I the most clearly hear and most clearly receive? And for some people I know, all of you know Mo Thomas, I think. Most one of his channels of letting God just increase in him is looking at sunsets. And, you know, no two sunsets are ever alike. So you can sit there and gaze upon a week full of sunsets and be continuously inspired and awe by all of that. And I think that's another way of doing it. Some people take hikes. Some like to kayak. Some like to just listen to music. There's different ways that God uses his channels, different channels that speak to us, that open up the expansion of grace and love in our life. And I can't help but encourage you enough to find those for you. And that doesn't mean what works today was going to work tomorrow, because he may want to introduce a new channel to you to express himself. And you know what? He's God and he can do that. If you go to one of the books I'm going to recommend to you that would be good for your library is Don Keithley's book, Grace on Steroids. I would strongly recommend that book to you because Don does a wonderful job discussing the things we were discussing the last 5 weeks. He does a wonderful thing discussing what a grace community looks like, how a grace community can impact a particular area. But I do want to give you Don's definition here, and then we're going to just take a couple of minutes because I'm going to catch up because it's 20 after the hour right now. But this is one of Don's definition of grace. Grace is the unconditional love of God embracing you and bringing you into his life. One of the purposes of grace is to awaken us to the awareness of our union and our oneness. The perichoretic circle, being drawn into the perichoretic circle, that circle of love, that circle of joy, where grace then combined with love becomes the most powerful tool in the universe. You know, grace is the channel, the pipeline through which the unconditional love travels. And grace is the revelation that he's always, 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 always cheering us on. And it leads to a so much. So I want to, when we come back, you're going to have Greg the next 2 weeks teaching, and I've been talking with him, and I think it's going to be really awesome. But when Carol, because Carol and I will be on vacation the next two Sundays, but the Sunday after that, we're going to start out with not only what is grace, but the person of Jesus and how he frames grace in our lives. And so tell me, guys, what are you hearing today? What's helpful? What's not? I can take it. What's not? I can take it because I'm basking in the sunshine behind me. So.
Go ahead. We're talking about the waterfalls. You mentioned Cascade Falls being a nice, gentle waterfall that you would not mind immersing yourself in. However, if you were to put yourself under the bottom of Niagara Falls, it's like the darkness in the world crushing you. And then as a bigger picture, I see that Niagara Falls is trying to crush the, like a Niagara Falls darkness is trying to crush the world. But yet, because living water has more power than, if you will, dead water, the power of love is going to overcome that darkness.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm going to go across my screen. I'm going to move over to the left of my screen, which is Carol Heiss and Sharon Crowes. Thoughts?
You got anything, Sharon?
I just see grace as a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wake up in the morning, my feet hit the ground or the floor, and I'm walking in grace.
Mm-hmm.
It just... constantly there. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing I had thought throughout the week was he wants to experience our lives with us. So it's mm-hmm. like we have to be mindful that he's yeah. like, take a friend to school day. You know, he wants to go with us when we go about our chores. He wants to be there and have that conversation with us. He wants us to help us to just be constantly with them because they just want to be with us so much. A difficult thing to understand.
Charles.
Well, the exercise that you had us, I'm sorry, Buddy is a little busy at the moment. Closing our eyes and just using our imagination. I mean, I think that's very, very important. I've been finding myself throughout, well, especially the last couple of days, allowing myself to love even the things that I don't like, because the power of love is what changes things. Because if I don't extend grace to myself for, say, I have a habit that I don't like, if I just keep harping on myself about that habit instead of giving myself grace and love, then the habit is never going to change. And so I've been more aware of, okay, there's this habit and I'm just going to extend love to this habit, extend love to myself. Because a lot of times the things we're doing is we are trying to find comfort and security in whether it's food or some kind of addiction, chocolate, whatever it is. We're looking to satisfy what we think is a perceived need instead of realizing, no, in the grace of Christ, we have everything. All that we need for life and godliness is already here. And so if I give myself grace situations, then that's when effort, you know, change will happen and it will be effortless.
Good, good. How about our other Sharon, whom we love very much? Anything you want to add?
You talking about me?
I am.
Yeah, it's changed me. you know, since I've been listening to you, I just am joyful. I used to be crying all the time. You know, joyful. I think it's great.
Joyful is much better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good. Muriel.
Well, I am just very thankful to understand more deeper about the grace that God has and how simple it is and how complicated at the same time and how what a blessing he is to us and how he raises people up like yourself and everyone on together here to be able to talk about it and learn more about it. So it's definitely a progress of learning and growth. So
good.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Derek and Shelley, got anything you want to jump in with?
Like grace means gift. And some people say it's undeserved. I think it's deserved because we are his children, but it's unearned. And it's more about the giver than the gift. That's all I got.
It's good. Shelley?
I don't think I have much. I feel like, you know, I feel like this is kind of like what has been ingrained in me from childhood is this message of grace. And you know, I don't think I think about it a lot. You know, and so I think for me, it's just like a good like awareness, you know, to it again. Sometimes I think I just like take it for granted and I don't really think about how it's impacting me.
Hopefully, you know, we all get to the point where it becomes second nature in a sense, you know, where we just are so in tune that we walk it out. But it is always good to be reminded of it too. So how about Daryl or Marilyn? You got something you want to jump in with?
Well, with growing up Lutheran, man, I was always supposed to be ashamed of myself, you know, and to now learn that I'm loved no matter what. It's really uplifting, the whole new experience.
A joyful one, a fun one?
What now?
A joyful experience, a fun experience?
Oh, yes. Good. Yes, I enjoy this. Very much so.
Awesome. Marilyn, got anything she wants to add?
Yeah, I find it very peaceful and restful.
Good. And I'm going to let the closeout go to our majestically awesome brothers.
You know, I think that grace has a very cleansing effect. And, you know, from my previous Christian experience, we all have sin in our life. And if you don't think you have sin in your life, you can go to a church that will tell you you have sin in your life and you need to repent. And it's not my. But when you think about it, and I never forget what Carol said, what you resist persists. And since I've quit resisting sin in my life, I've seen and observed things that would be called sin have dwindled away because I don't resist them. They don't persist. And therefore, grace, true grace, has a cleansing effect. Not just an overcomer's forgiveness, but actually washes away.
Yeah.
That's about the most powerful thing I can think of that grace has done in my life.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Often the distance over here. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I gave myself some homework. But the one scripture that I put down in my notebook for this homework, for whatever reason, and it meant the most, is delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Well, that means all of our needs have been provided for. We don't have to struggle and worry about and waste energy, if you will, worrying about how those things are going to be. They've been totally provided because he says the desires. Well, the desire doesn't necessarily mean is not a need.
Yeah.
It's way beyond.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining today. For those who are watching by Zoom and those who will watch down the road on YouTube or listen on podcast, it is a great day. It's a little bit different format, a little bit different presentation. I hope everybody got something out of it. That's my expectation. If you didn't get an aha moment, you'll have a percolating moment come up later. So like I said, next week, Carol and I will be on vacation. Greg will be back in the house with what I know is a good message because he's taught me or told me a lot about it. So we'll go from there. Wednesday nighters, we will be on this Wednesday night. So I will be back in town and Carol and I will be back in the saddle of our couch and we will see you there. So we love you guys. It's been fun. Thanks for indulging the Zoom format today and blessings to all of you. And with that, I'm going to end the Zoom saying grace and peace be to all of you in ever increasing amounts. Amen.